Welcome, everyone. This is Chastity Melvin, host of True Sports Talk Radio, and I'm here live to chalk it up with you about the WNBA playoffs of 2017. We have the rematch finals of the LA Sparks and the Minnesota Lynx. And if you missed that game on Sunday, you missed a finals rematch where there was blood, sweat, tears, passion. The girls were playing hard. And it was just a crazy, unbelievable game. I mean, LA was up by close to 25 points in the first quarter, and Minnesota almost capped off the biggest comeback of all time, I think, pretty much in sports history, if they were to come back and won that game. LA takes the home court advantage from Minnesota Lynx off of Chelsea's Gray buzzer beater, close to it, step back, pull-up jumper at the top of the key, and the crowd went crazy. It was just one of those the most unbelievable games that I've ever seen in the playoffs, and just reading over the news and everywhere, it's one of the highest rated playoff game of the WNBA in its 20-year existence. So definitely jumped up the ratings from then. So getting really into it really quick, this is episode 2 of True Sports Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chastity Melvin. Today we're going to talk about the WNBA playoffs, what I expect in game 2, and I'm also going to have Professor Kuntz, who's working on her PhD at the University of Maryland out in College Park. Professor Kuntz is on the show with me today. And Professor Kuntz played a little basketball of her own, so I'm going to welcome Professor Kuntz on the show today. She's going to be my co-host, my interviewee, and obviously she's going to give me the rundown on athletes and social justice and everything that's going on with Trump and all that he's been doing and what we're really missing behind this whole Trump tweets saga. So let's welcome Professor Kuntz to the show. Professor Kuntz, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. When we come back, Professor Kuntz, we're going to jump right into it. We're going to tell them the four qualities about you, a little bit about your background, where you started, where you came up, and why you're so special to the host, Chastity Melvin. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned, everyone.
Embarrassment in the world.
All right, everyone, just a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're back. And like I said, this is Chastity Melvin, host of True Sports Talk Radio. We're going to be talking about WNBA playoffs 2017 with the LA Sparks versus the Minnesota Lynx, the finals rematch that everyone, if you're a fan of WNBA basketball, pretty much knew was going to happen this year. Also on the show today, I'm going to be interviewing Professor Kuntz, who is practicing and working on finishing her PhD at the University of Maryland in College Park. Professor Kuntz, thanks for being on the show. Let's start. Let's give my followers and my listeners a little bit more information about you. So where did you grow up, Professor Kuntz?
Well, you know the place very well. I grew up in Roseboro, North Carolina, in eastern North Carolina, east of Interstate 95. Very proud of that. And went to Lakewood High School, and along with you, helped Lakewood win its first women's state basketball championship, one of my best all-time memories ever. After that, I accepted and played basketball for East Carolina University. So I'm a Pirate through and through, purple and gold. That's the color of my blood, and I'm very proud of the fact that they took a chance on a little girl from rural North Carolina and gave me a scholarship, allowed me to continue my education and also play the game that I love.
Awesome. Now, after you finished playing your collegiate level at East Carolina University, did you get a chance to go play overseas at all or professional basketball?
I did. I actually played a year in Israel in Haifa. The name of my team was – I lived in Kiryat Motzkin, and we were Hapoel Haifa. And that was one of the best experiences that I've had as a professional athlete. I wanted to continue to play, but the cards just didn't turn in my favor. So after I stopped playing, I returned to school and I got my first master's degree, my first master's in English. And afterwards, I began teaching for the university at East Carolina University as a fixed-term faculty. I was teaching English courses. Then I went on to get another master's in sociology. and from that master's in sociology. And I'm talking really fast and pushing a lot of years into a small sentence. I'm now working on my PhD in sociology at the University of Maryland in College Park.
Wow, smarty arty. Well, for everyone that's just tuning in, this is Chastity Melvin, and I'm the host of True Sports Talk Radio. And on the show with me today, I'm making my sister, yes, my sister from the same mother, Professor Kuntz, my co-host today. I'm interviewing her and talking about her story. She also played basketball. We grew up fighting each other on the dirt courts in the country town
of
Roseburg, North Carolina. Like she said, she's now working on her PhD. So she's on the show today to chalk it up with me about athletes and social justice and all this saga that's going on in America today with just the political unrest and athletes protesting and people tweeting. So I'm going to have her on the show from here on out this year, and we're going to try to make this a consistent effort all year long. So thanks, Professor Kuntz, for joining in. And talking about it, if you missed it, she just told us that she talked about she played professional basketball in Israel. So she's very close to the sport, and obviously we battled growing up. Dee, tell us a little, Professor Kuntz, tell us a little bit about the finals. Did you get to watch the Minnesota Lynx battle the LA Sparks?
Yes, I did, and that was an amazing game. I was so excited. I'm a big Candace Parker fan, and I had, chosen the Sparks to repeat. So when the game started and they jumped out to that huge lead, I was like, oh, okay, I feel good about my prophecy. And then when Minnesota dug back in, which I knew they would, and the end of the game, I mean, it was just amazing. I scared my sons. I was screaming with excitement. It was one of the best games, hands down best basketball finals game as a first game that I've seen. And I've watched a lot of basketball. You know how much I love the Spurs. So, I've watched a lot of finals games, and this one was amazing.
Awesome. And talking about the Spurs, we're going to talk about Pop and his reaction to all that's going on with you. Your favorite coach, your favorite NBA team is San Antonio Spurs. So I definitely got to talk about what Pop said about everything that's going on. But you're right, that was a classic game. You knew Minnesota Lynx were going to come back and make a strong, valiant effort to try to get back in the game, at least, and save face. But LA Sparks just really jumped out and punched them in the face in the first quarter. They threw the first punch, and Minnesota Lynx just weren't prepared for the level of physicality and just the aggressiveness, I think, that the LA Sparks came out with. I think they rested on the fact that they are playing at home, and LA Sparks showed no – the only thing they were scared of was standing out on the court for the national anthem. That's the only thing they were afraid of. And when we all know it, because of Colin Kaepernick starting to protest social injustice that's going on, he had started kneeling in the national anthem. And the WNBA has long started protesting with wearing the shirts and showing that they, using their platform to show and make people aware of all that's going on in the States. But the LA Sparks did stay in the locker room for the national anthem. And maybe that threw the Minnesota Lynx off a little bit. Maybe that threw them off. But whatever it was, whatever motivation the LA Sparks had, they punched Minnesota Lynx in the face early in that first quarter.
They did.
Professor Kuntz, what do you think the Minnesota Lynx will have to do to come back? And pretty much this is a do or die game for them. They do not want to go down 0-2, especially on their home court.
Exactly. I think they better get the ball in early and often to Sylvia Fowles. I mean, it just seemed like the Sparks were playing at home. They control the tempo. They control the pace. They seem more comfortable. And it was the Lynx who seemed out of place. They just seemed like they didn't have any rhythm. They were playing lethargic. I really kept waiting for Maya Moore to be Maya Moore. So that first quarter, I was like, okay, Maya Moore's about to get it. She's about to, hit that rhythm that she hits when she's unstoppable. And they really seem out of sorts. So maybe it was the protest or maybe conversations about what they should do or how they should proceed, but they really seem distracted. But if they want to win that second game, there is no one in the WNBA, especially with you being retired and all the great centers. Sylvia Fowles is unstoppable. The closest competition is Brittany Griner, who's home watching the playoffs from television. So they've got to get her the ball. I mean, just let her have her way. Candace Parker can only attempt to guard Sylvia Fowles, but she really can't stop Sylvia Fowles. So I think they have to just get the ball into her. And Rebecca Brunson, I think, was great. So if they can get more out of Rebecca Brunson and stretch the defense, but get that ball into Sylvia Fowles, I think you could see the series tied 1-1.
Professor Kuntz, I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, they did look like the more comfortable team. And really, you know, it, Coach Reeves was adamant after the game. She said she watched the film. She was so upset with the way they played lackadaisical basketball. And she feels like she has a little has kind of lost control of her team as far as getting them and making them mentally prepared, because she feels like they're playing like someone owes them something instead of going out there and playing like they have to take this championship.
I agree. I totally agree. And I really, I mean, I've watched Maya Moore transition to be the leader of that team, but it seemed like maybe there were some internal problems going on or something going on with her mentally, because it just didn't seem like it was her team Sunday. I don't know if that makes sense, but I thought Simone Augustus contributed and shot the ball well when she got going, but I did not see Maya Moore rallying her troops the way that Candace Parker was in everybody's face on LA side. And so I think Maya Moore is going to have to step up and be that assertive leader that we know she can be and just take over. It's her team now, you know, Lindsay, Simone, Rebecca Brunson. I mean, they've been there. They've done that. They're going to give you what they're going to give you. Obviously, Fowles is going to give you everything that you can imagine. But Maya Moore, to me, has to be that vocal leader.
Professor Kuntz, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's one thing that a lot of people weren't talking about when you read the game previews, the game reviews, when you listen to the interviews. No one really talked about that leader for the Minnesota Lynx, and I think that was key. That's a key point that you just made. You could easily see who the leader was for the LA Sparks. Candace Parker was unbelievable with the leadership right. She showed throughout that game, despite the foul trouble she got in. Even when she picked up her fourth foul, she was still on her teammates. She was still demanding the best from them. She was still demanding the best from Chelsea Gray, whom we have to move in on Chelsea's great story a little bit. Professor Kuntz, and all of those listeners, you may not know Chelsea's great story. I'm just going to give you a quick sound bite. She played at Duke, dislocated her kneecap, and went down. Thought she would never play basketball again. The doctor told her, if you have a kneecap injury like that where you dislocate it, it has to heal on its own. So fortunately for her, she did come back from that injury, only to come back and play pretty strong, have 22 points, playing at Duke University, gets 2 months later, plays against Boston College, falls to the floor again, and tears her ACL.
Wow.
So she had two devastating knee injuries and really was really down on herself, never thought she would play basketball again. And if you're a true fan of women's basketball, you watch that and you know that, for her to hit that shot in that first
game,
that's
amazing.
It means a lot for her. And that just shows you the power of sports and why I love this game so much, why you love this game so much.
Yes.
And not only that, just to see her lead and build from become a leader for her team. Because last year she didn't even start. People forget she didn't start last year. But she was
I don't remember her name hardly.
Yeah, she was the X Factor last year. I kept telling everyone and all my friends, we text each other, I'm like, Chelsea Gray is the X Factor. Because Lindsey Whalen, and as you see in that first game, they have no one to defend her. So if you're just tuning in, I have Professor Kuntz on the line. She's working on her PhD at the University of Maryland in College Park. Obviously, I can't get those words out because I'm NC State all the way. Okay, Wolfpack baby. But Professor Kuntz, please tell everyone where you are, what you're studying at the University of Maryland. Give them a shout out.
Hey, everybody. I am at University of Maryland in College Park. I'm trying to make it home as much as I can, but, you know, once you're a country girl from North Carolina, you're always a country girl from North Carolina, but I'm loving the university. I'm majoring in sociology, so working on my PhD. Hopefully soon you can officially call me Dr. Danielle Kuntz.
I'm looking forward to calling you Dr. Kuntz because you're the smartest person I know personally, that's for sure. But thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for chalking it up with me. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Minnesota Lynx versus the LA Sparks. LA Sparks steals home court advantage, go up 1-0 in the series, in the best of five series. The game will be on live tonight, ESPN2 at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So make sure you check it out tonight on ESPN2. I wish it was on ABC because I wish everyone could witness this game. But unfortunately, we don't have that kind of TV exposure now. But Lisa Borders, is the president of the WNBA, is doing a great job, and I only see bright things for their
future.
Yes,
she is.
So let's get on into it. Let's get a prediction real quick, D. Who wins tonight, Minnesota or L.A.?
You know, I hope L.A. wins, but I just can't see Minnesota losing two in a row on their home court. So I'm going to have to go with Minnesota. I still think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think L.A. is going to be hungry, and they're going to want to win this game so they can sweep the Lynx. But I think the Lynx are going to show why they've been the champions for so many years in the past. And so we're going to see a tie game 1-1 tonight.
Professor Kuntz is going with the Minnesota Lynx to tie it up. And just because I'm her big sister and I want to feel smarter than her, I'm just going to go with the Sparks tonight. I feel like they do not want to give the Minnesota Lynx any type of confidence. I think they will come back stronger. Coach Brian Agler, who won in the ABL, he's the all-time winningest coach, has the most championships. He's going to have them fired up. He's going to make even more adjustments against the Minnesota Lynx. And I think they're going to come up fired up and prepared to punch him in the face again. But this time, I don't think they'll let him get back in it. So I'm going to go with the Sparks, Professor Kuntz.
All right. We'll talk later tonight.
All right. Let's go. So let's talk about everything that's going on with the social athletes and social activism and protesting. Everyone was in shock that the Dallas Cowboys even kneeled. But then there was some controversy before that because they didn't kneel during the national anthem. Let's take a quick break and let's listen to your favorite coach, Coach Popovich, for the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. So everyone, let's listen in to what Coach Pop has to say. And usually he doesn't have much to say, but listen in. Let's hear him.
Embarrassment in the world. This is an individual who actually thought that when people held arms during the games that they were doing it to honor the flag. That's delusional, absolutely delusional, but it's what we have to live with. So you got a choice. We can continue to bounce our heads off the wall with his conduct, or we can decide that the institutions of our country are more important, that people are more important, that the decent America that we all thought we had and want is more important, and get down to business at the grassroots level and do what we have to do. I wonder what the people think about who voted for him, where their line is, how much they can take, where does the morality and the decency kick in. And I understand very well, they didn't like their choice economically. A lot of people had a problem. And he was the right guy at the right time to tap into that mood. And people overlooked one hell of a lot to be able to pull that trigger and vote in that direction. But it was because they wanted change. They felt ignored. They actually thought something would happen that would aid them. But at what price is the question? And as we see the actions over and over and over again, one wonders what is in their heads.
Professor Kuntz, your thoughts on Coach Pop and what he just said?
Well, you know, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Coach Greg Popovich is a shining example of someone who may not be in an oppressed situation or maybe has not experienced oppression, but he's able to look from his place of privilege as an NBA head coach who's highly paid, highly respected, lives a high-class lifestyle because of his position as the Spurs head coach, and he's still able to speak for people, like he said, on the grassroots level. So I think that he is a great example of what America can become because he says things with respect and he says things that he's thought through, and he doesn't necessarily politicize his statements. If you notice, he kept getting back to the people and about change and trying to see how we can all get to that place where we're really going to actually try to do some change and not just try to create some noise.
Professor Combs, let me let the listeners in on what we're talking about. All of this started from our president, with some people's president, President Donald Trump, who called NFL players sons of bitches for kneeling, and he said that NFL should fire each and every one of them. Now, this sparked nationwide reaction. This also sparked and kind of formed a solidarity amongst the NFL players that didn't follow the first person to kneel, Colin Kaepernick. A lot of people, some were with him, many disagree with him with kneeling during the flag. But after President Trump's tweet and his call during a delegation or a speech
a
in
rally.
Alabama, a rally in Alabama, he incited that NFL fire those son of a bitches. And that united the NFL teams to kneel. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't come out for the national anthem. As we talked about earlier in the show, the LA Sparks didn't come out for the national anthem to show their solidarity. Jacksonville Jaguars, they took a knee. Baltimore Ravens. So there was a lot of unity and people finally kind of, you know, you would want them to take sides more so with what Colin Kaepernick took a knee for, but President Trump really brought it to light when he incited hate and division with his tweets that he has done so consistently since his term in office. What do you tell people as far, because that really hit me. I posted a picture on my social media because I was asked by a young athlete, what do you think our college will say if we take a knee? And for me, that really hit me deep because I've been so used to so much stuff going on as an African-American woman that I'm just like, what is it going to do? Is it going to do anything? But when that young athlete asked me that, it just touched me in such a way that this is doing something outside of myself to join in the solidarity of that. So what do you say to those young people about this situation now?
Well, I say, congratulations. Like, this is a great time to be alive in America, to be able to be a part of change and to be able to use your platform as an athlete to usher in change. And I would say to them is to, number one, make sure you do your homework and know why you're taking a knee. And number two, and when I say do your homework, I mean, you know, we're in a society now where you don't even have to open a book, go to a library, get a library card, look at an index card, find an author's name. You could literally Google Colin Kaepernick, and you can pull up his website, find all about why he chose to take a knee. You can Google and learn about the inequalities and injustices that are plaguing America. And so I encourage the student athletes to educate themselves. I know they're working on their craft and spending a lot of time in the gym. This is preseason and moving closer to the actual season, so they're actually probably getting ready to practice soon. And so I know their time is limited, but the little time that they do have, take some time to educate yourself about the issues. And secondly, ignore Donald Trump. That would be my second line of advice, because this is greater than Donald Trump. And one thing that we have to recognize about our president, I don't give too many compliments to him, but I can say that he is a genius when it comes to utilizing Twitter to work in his favor. And so I know people are saying, I can't believe you called him a genius, but it really is truly genius. The fact that when he tweets something, he knows that he's getting the attention now of not only the media, but now he's getting the attention of athletes. He's getting the attention of entertainers. He's getting attention of people who probably have never paid hardly any attention to another president's social media activity in the history of presidents and social media. And so what this allows him to do is to kind of control the political narrative. So while he's tweeting about the NFL and players taking knees and Steph Curry not being invited to the White House, what you really need to be thinking about is what policies are being withdrawn and what policies are being put into place that are only further causing inequality and causing other groups of people to be oppressed. One thing that got lost in all of the noise is the fact that there was a release of, I think, at least 30 states where they found that there was some kind of hampering with the ballot and the poll system, which is really big news, meaning that there is a lot of evidence that there was some type of hacking. Now, we don't know. I'm sure they know whether it was Russian hacking or whether it was internal hacking from here in the United States. But our electoral system had been compromised, and that hardly made any news waves because Donald Trump knows that when he tweets anything, when he criticizes someone's face or criticizes a woman or criticizes John McCain or does some off-the-wall tweet, that it takes our attention away from some of the political issues that are being set. And those policies that are being put in place will be very difficult to remove. And some of them will be around even when our children have children. And that's the scary thing that I think athletes and entertainers and just your average American, they're not necessarily recognizing that this man is not as idiotic and as dumb as his tweets make him seem to be. What the tweets do, they are what I like to consider a smokescreen for all of the other legislative and policy actions that are taking place that no one is paying attention to. Like, isn't it a coincidence that there's another repeal of the Affordable Health Care Act at the same time that he's tweeting about the NFL and Steph Curry? Now, why do you think he wants us to get our attention off of health care and put all of our attention on whether the Dallas Cowboys really took a knee or not? Because what does the Dallas Cowboys taking a knee or not taking a knee have to do in the great scheme of things when our health care for millions of Americans may be compromised? And that's
well said,
what you have
Professor
to be aware of.
Well
thank
said,
you. Thank
well
you.
Said.
I'm sorry, I got a little impassioned there, so thank you for cutting me off.
No, that's exactly why I have you on this show, because I know that this is something you're passionate about and this is something that you're very knowledgeable about, in which I always text you, like I text you a couple of weeks ago, Professor Kuntz, well, I called you D. Sis, tell me, what is this DPAC? What's the DPAC thing? What do I need to know about this? How do I support
right.
this? Give me all the information, what's good, what's not, because, you know, I know you have a good heart and I know where your place is, even though we have difference of opinions. But politically, I'm calling you to find out all the information I need to know. And then that kind of lost its place in the news because of everything that's going on. How can people help with that situation, or are they getting that passed? What happened with the – did I even say that right? Excuse me, listeners.
I'm sorry, Chastity. Can you repeat the word you said?
I thought I said the DPAC when they're trying to.
Oh, no, no. You mean the Dreamers Act, okay? That's DACA.
Yeah.
Yes. And right now, obviously, the president has decided that they want to undo Obama's popular legislation, which protects the children who were brought over. Admittedly, they were brought over illegally by their parents. And what President Obama basically felt was that they should not be punished if for being brought over to a country against their will. I mean, they're you're talking about babies, toddlers, young children who were brought with their parents, who are being, for the most part, outstanding citizens. Many are serving in the military. They're in universities. Some are at the age where they're now getting their PhDs like myself, their medical degrees, and just becoming great citizens of the United States. And President Trump and his legislation have decided to repeal that piece of policy structured by Obama and his legislation. So now what we're seeing is, because of the outrage, people are trying to now figure out a way to keep the Dreamers in the United States. And so we hope that there will be some type of concession in the weeks to come. But again, as you can see, all the attention was diverted from that because of a tweet about the NFL, about NASCAR, about Steph Curry. And so who knows next week who he'll be tweeting about. You know, I heard that UNC Chapel Hill wasn't coming to visit the White House, so I'm sure there's going to be a tweet pretty soon about UNC men's basketball. And again, those are simply smoke screens so we can get away from the real issues that are affecting people.
Thank you, Professor Koontz. For those of you tuning in, we talked it up about the WNBA playoffs, the Minnesota Lynx versus the LA Sparks, the finals rematch of 2017 that we all anticipated. LA Sparks took the first game and stole home court advantage. So tonight on ESPN2 at 8 o'clock Eastern, the Minnesota Lynx will try to salvage their home court advantage and tie the series 1-1. Professor Koontz is going with the Lynx. I'm going with the Sparks because we're sisters and we have to have a difference in opinion. Professor Koontz just schooled us and gave us the rundown on Donald Trump's tweets. And please, she's saying, please don't let his smokescreen keep us away from what's really going on with politics and legislation. Also, Professor Koontz, before I get you off the show, before we end this podcast, I had you on the show in my first episode, and you told me there were three things people need to understand before they want to take a knee, before they want to tweet, before they want to write these status messages and all of a sudden get in politics. And that's why I steer away from it. I didn't even know how to talk about the Dreamers Act. That's why I know my role. I know sports, I know food, and I know basketball, and I know God. So I try to stick to that, and women's empowerment and life coaching. So I stick to those things. But so, Professor Koontz, tell us, before we make these tweets or before we make, you know, profile messages, what are three things that we should consider, and then I'll let you go.
Okay, well, thank you, Chastity, and I really enjoy the show today and look forward to the future shows. Number one, I always like to give myself a personal 24-hour rule. I really try to abide by that rule. So that way I don't tweet my anger out, because there have been some things that I have seen in the past. I'll remember, I'll give a quick example, Donald Sterling with the LA Clippers. And when that immediately came out and the tape was revealed and the things he was saying about black men and black people, I mean, I immediately posted on Facebook out of my anger and my frustration without fully understanding the entire story. And so I learned from that incident that I need to always wait 24 hours so I don't put out the angry tweet and miss, because angry tweets often are embers that just fan the flames and make things worse. So you want to get over the anger tweet and put out the tweet that you'll be proud of a few days from now, weeks from now, months from now. So try to wait 24 hours if you can, so you can calm yourself down and so you can gather more information to make sure you know as many details as you can. Number two, when you're using social media or you want to get involved in activism and take the knee and things like that, again, make sure you understand the real issues. Now, you're not going to know all the issues. I mean, the Dreamers, that is a complete issue in itself, and it's completely different from the South Dakota pipeline that they're drilling in the Native American reservation, which is completely different from the riots, excuse me, not riots, forgive me for saying that, the protests that are occurring in St. Louis over the police brutality. And so you can't know everything. So I would suggest that you find something that's personal to you, that you're passionate about, and get to know the facts around that issue. Okay, so Google St. Louis and see why they're going on. I think this is their seventh or eighth day in a row that they're going, that they've been protesting the police brutality. They just had another case where the police officer faced no charges. He was acquitted of all charges when they showed him on video looking like he placed the gun in the car. Just a horrible case. I don't have time to really review it. But learn to find that one issue that you're passionate about and make that your platform. Don't try to be a jack of all trades because you're going to mess up, but focus on that one. And then lastly, I always like to say this, what you're posting or what you're taking a stand for, will you be able to be proud of that and show that to your kids, show that to your family months down the road, years down the road? I think if you can keep those three things in mind, you'll find people, athletes particularly, but not just athletes, young people, entertainers, you'll find that we're pushing change and doing it more quickly and more efficiently when we start thinking about those things.
Thank you, Professor Kuntz. So you heard it first here from Professor Kuntz. I'm telling you, she's going to be a doctor soon. She's already a doctor in my eyes, one of the most intelligent people I know and the most intelligent person I know personally. Yeah, she's the smartest in the family. But I got all the good looks. Thank you so much for calling the show. We chalked it up about WNBA playoffs, and the Minnesota Lynx will face the LA Sparks tonight on ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Eastern. Whichever team wins
Go
the
Sparks.
Title will have four championships under their belt, and they will tie my all-time favorite player of the WNBA, Cynthia Cooper, in the Houston Comet.
Yes.
So whoever wins will make history this year, and I'm so excited about the WNBA playoffs. I'm excited about my show. This is the second episode, and if you tuned in, now you all know about Professor Kuntz, and she can give us the rundown, the deep thoughts on everything that we don't know that we maybe need to know, okay? So I'm signing out. Thanks, Professor Kuntz, for being on. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
See you, Chaz.
All righty.